Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Right? Nah, just kidding, guys. Pastor Dave, Pastor Sonia, thank you so much for inviting us, having us. We're actually going to have Pastor Dave and Sonia come visit Pneuma South in a few weeks. So we can't wait to have the windmill people come to the South. Oh, that is cool. But Pastor Dave is just, this man refreshes people. Everyone that hangs out with Pastor Dave always leaves feeling better than they felt before. I just love it. Just love it. And Pastor Sonia is one of the most consistent people that I know. Just love you guys. I could spend the rest of the service just talking about them. But they would tell me, hey, bro, you came here to talk about Jesus. So let's open our Bibles. Let's go to John chapter 4. We're going to read from verses 5 to 19. Who's got their Bibles today? Let's see those Bibles. Oh, I can see a few Bibles. Yeah, go on Amazon. Go to Koorong. Get some hard copies. Don't be shy to put your Bibles up. But if you've got it on your phone, don't stress about your phone unless it doesn't come up on the screen. We're going to go through a lot of Bible today. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes. The title of the message that God put on my heart for today is Still or Sparkling. Still or Sparkling. All right. Someone's getting thirsty right now. You start seeing people just automatically, they're not even thinking about it, they start just opening up their water, drinking. Just because I said still or sparkling. Now, John 4, verse 5 says this. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. He's talking about Jesus. He comes to this town in Samaria. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied, he was tired, as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. It was about the sixth hour. It was actually about midday. That is the sixth hour. And it's the hottest part of the day. And he was thirsty. He needed some water. So, verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. This woman's come to the well all by herself. A lot of you would know this story. She's there by herself. It's midday. It's the hottest part of the day. No one goes to the well to get water at midday because it's so hot. But Jesus happens to be there. He's on a mission. She happens to be there. She must have some issues. She must know one. No. Hey, who doesn't have issues, right? But this lady must have some issues because she's not coming with the women who usually come in the morning or at night. So she rocks up thinking it's just going to be me, myself, and I. But there is a Jew. And he says, give me some water. People in Samaria, Samaritans were actually mixed race. They were Jewish, but they also had a bit of everything else in it from the time when the kingdom of Israel had been split up and the people that stayed in Jerusalem back in the Old Testament started to marry up with all these other people and then they weren't pure Jews. So now when the Jews came back to Jerusalem, did not like the Samaritans. So these Samaritans stayed in Samaria. But Jesus is on his way to Galilee. He decides to go through Samaria, where Jews are not really welcome. And he's at this well. And this woman's thinking, you're a Jew. Why are you asking me for a drink? So verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water. I got to get me some of that water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I ain't got no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying that you have no husband, because I know you've had five, lady." I'm mixing it up a little bit. Hopefully you guys can read what I'm saying. So Jesus, "I know that you don't have a husband. You've actually had five. And the one you're with now," she's like, "What?" The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Jesus knew. He gave her a prophetic word. He gave her a word of knowledge. Still or sparkling. Oh, man. Someone open up this water. Oh, it's open. Yeah. It's dripping. Oh, it's overflowing. Holy Spirit. Still or sparkling.
It's going everywhere.
See, what happens when you have a drink? Hey, you get refreshed. When you have a drink, you get refreshed. Your thirst is quenched. You get hydrated. Hydration is when your body absorbs water. Your body actually starts to function properly. Your joints are lubricated so you can move properly. 80% of our bodies are made up of water. We need water. We need water, still or sparkling. You know, sparkling water, in the last couple of centuries, the market of bubbling water, it has gone berserk. There's like soda water, there's club soda, there's seltzer water, there's San Pellegrino, you know. There's all these kinds of water. But the market of bubbling water is actually valued at more than $30 billion. Still or sparkling. Hey, if you have some still water, if you have some sparkling water, it hydrates you all the same. We lived in London for a few years, my wife and I. And when we were there, we'd go to a cafe, a restaurant, just like you would here in Melbourne. They say, "Welcome, Neil." They don't know your name though. Say, "Welcome, sir. Would you like some still or sparkling?" "Yeah, still for you." That's because you don't want to pay for it, right? True? It's like, who pays for water? You can get water out of the tap. Like, seriously, hey, waitress, just get me some tap water. So when you say still, you're thinking, I'm not paying anything for it. I'm always like sparkling because it just refreshes me. There's something about bubbly water. It kind of fills me up a little bit. It makes me feel all these good feels. So when you go to London and you say still or sparkling, no matter what you say, they're going to give you water you have to pay for. Because the water over there is described as hard water. It's, you know, water has minerals in it. It's got some calcium. It's got some magnesium. Could have some sodium. But over there, the percentage of the calcium and the magnesium, which are good for you, is super high. So what happens when, with the water, especially in your kettle or when you're washing stuff, it turns into this lime scale, all this weird white stuff. And it doesn't taste all that good. So everyone goes for bottled water, they boil their kettles. So when I was in London, I'm like, they're making me pay for water. Like, you don't have to pay for water. Still or sparkling. You're like, where's this guy going with this? See, tap water isn't the only free option. Tap water is not even free. Someone in that cafe is paying for that tap water, right? But even in your house, you're like, oh, just get tap water. You're paying for that water bill. I'm here to tell you what you already know, but just to remind you that there's a greater option. It's a greater option. What have you been drinking? It's a greater option. It's called living water. So when I say still or sparkling, it's like, yeah, still or sparkling. When you go to a restaurant, like, hey, you got any living water? Because I got some living water. But we all need more living water. We all need to keep drinking. So there's a greater option, and it's called living water. We hear about this living water in John 7, 37 to 39. Go to John 7 with me since you've got your Bibles. It's not going to come up on the screen. 37 to 39. If you don't have your Bible, just write it down. Don't stress too much about looking at your phone. John 7, 37 to 39 says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It says, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Living water. First thing I want to tell you this morning, this afternoon, is that living water is free. Living water is free. It is free. This is the gift of God Jesus was talking about at the well. If we go back to John 4, where we were, verse 10, Jesus says this to the woman. If you knew the gift of God, what's the gift of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. See, she's hearing this guy talk about living water. Living water for them was a natural spring that would bring out water from the ground and would keep flowing nonstop. She's thinking, living water? Where do you get that from? She knew what living water was, but he wasn't talking about living water in the physical. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, you'll hear about water. There's prophecies about living water, being the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Isaiah. I say Isaiah because that's how we pronounce my son's name. A lot of people want to say Isaiah. That's how I grew up. Isaiah verse 55. No, chapter 55, verse 1. Let's go to it real quick. You guys doing good? All right, so Isaiah 55, 1 says this. We're talking about living water is free. It says this. This is a prophecy about Jesus. It says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do you come and buy without money? How do you come and buy without price? This is telling us that Jesus has already paid the price. Jesus was going to pay the price. You come, you buy without money, without price. Living water is free. Ha, who doesn't like some free things, eh? Hey, come on. Who likes free things? Yes, 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 yes. You guys, wow, at the West, you don't like free things. You know why people don't like free things? Because there's always a catch. Oh, you get 10 days for free, but just put your credit card details in because at the end of that 10 days, it's just going to default to $29.99 per month. You're like, man, I'm just going to get that free 10 days. I'll put a reminder on the ninth day so I can cancel that thing because I'm just going to try it out for free. There's a catch. Next thing you forget, because we're always looking for free things. Next thing is 2 years later, money's still coming out of your bank. You're not even using the thing. There is always a catch with free things. We get caught up in the expensive and unsatisfying options in life, when actually there is something that is for free that we might not be stewarding well. How are you stewarding the living water, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit? oh, hey, come do this course. It's free. We give people free things. They don't really commit to them because it's free. Do we do the same with Jesus? But actually with this living water, like I said, with free things, there's always a catch. The catch with this living water is that Jesus has paid a price. He paid the price. Someone's that paid the price. There's nothing really free in life. Someone always pays for it. And this living water, the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking to this woman about, he already paid the price for. See, most of us, maybe all of us, we've tasted and seen. We have the living water, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us. But we get distracted by other things. We try and find satisfaction in those other things. We start to look for thirst quenches elsewhere. We start to look for thirst quenches elsewhere but God. Look for thirst quenches elsewhere but the Holy Spirit. We look for thirst quenches elsewhere but Jesus. Where have you been trying to get your quench? Ha, your thirst quenched. Where have you been looking? See, this woman, five husbands. She was looking for love in all the wrong places. But she kept coming back to the well because she still wasn't satisfied. She would come with a jug, but her life was still just as empty as that jug when she would bring it. Because nothing else would satisfy like the Messiah who she was facing and didn't even realize. Living water is free. It's a funny thing that it's free, but we still have to pay something in a way. We actually still have to pay. Jesus has paid it all, but it's only when you actually lay everything down. When you lay your life down, when you lay those things down, it's free, but there's still a cost. Jesus says, deny yourself. That's a cost. You got to count. That's it. Someone said, count the cost. So we all get caught up, oh, it's free. Oh, it's all by grace. And Jesus said, you don't love anything else, anyone else more than me. That is a cost. We sing it. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else. Hey? Too high. Dave knows what I'm talking about. But we've actually got to lay everything down so we can take the free gift. I just sense God is saying to some of us today in Yuma West, give me what you have. Give me who you are. No matter where you're at, God sent him, God gave him to us for free, his presence for free. But we've actually got to lay everything else down so he can come and rest on us, so we can drink and be hydrated in the Spirit, in his presence. So much that when you drink of his presence, all those other distractions, all those other things will be sort of washed away, will just be taken away in a way. God will show you what to go away from. But you actually got to actually give yourself first everything, and then he'll do his work. So living water is free. Give me what you have, who you are, where you're at. And he says, I'll give you what I have. I just love how he sung, give me Jesus. You are my one thing. Someone said, go for everything. You know how in life we're just busy, we're just trying to get everything. Someone said, go for everything and you'll get nothing. But go for the one thing and you'll get everything. Go for everything and you'll get nothing. But go for the one thing that is Jesus and you'll get everything. Neil in his communion this morning shared so powerfully, so amazing. One of the verses he shared was that Jesus, God who did not spare his own son, how would he withhold anything from us? He knows what we need. He knows what he has for our lives. Is anyone thirsty? Anyone thirsty in this room? Still or sparkling? Hey, there's a better option. Living water. It is free. But I'm here to tell you today, Pneuma West, to remind you that living water cleanses. It cleanses. You ever try to have a shower with no water? Just use the soap. Ain't gonna work. It cleanses. We need living water. In Zechariah, write this down. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. This is in the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. It says, on that day, it's talking about the day when the Spirit is poured out. Could be talking about the day when Jesus comes. Could be talking about the day that Jesus dies, the day he pours out his Spirit. Talking about whatever time you access the Holy Spirit, I would say. It says, on that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanliness or uncleanness. Living water cleanses. There's so many prophecies in the Old Testament about God's Spirit, God's presence cleansing us. And we know we have been cleansed through the blood of Jesus. We find cleansing, we find forgiveness, we find mercy through the blood of Jesus. Let's go to Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28. Ezekiel, another prophet. There's just so much prophecy about Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament that the Jews had been waiting for so long. And now we have Jesus speaking to this woman, and he's the fulfillment of these prophecies. Ezekiel 36, 24 to 28. We're talking about living water is free, and living water cleanses. All right, so 36, it says this, verse 26, and I will give you, no, 24, come on, Pastor Steve, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the nations, from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from your uncleannesses. That's what my ESV says. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. 26 says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you a new spirit, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jesus is water, the living water cleanses. We all need cleansing. It's not a one-time thing just when we say, Jesus, come into my life. It's sanctification. Jesus' sanctification is being made pure and purer day by day to become more and more like Jesus. And when you have the Holy Spirit living in you, convicting you, and you feed that Holy Spirit in you with the Word of God, you are convicted and you start to walk in His ways as He enables you to walk in His ways. You are sanctified, you are cleansed. God wants you and I to be people of clean hands and pure hearts. He wants to work through us, so He gives us His living water, which cleanses. Is anyone thirsty? Still a sparkling? Living water, that's it. See, living water refreshes. Living water is free. Living water cleanses, but living water refreshes. That's why Brother Dave there, he's just a man who refreshes, because he is full of the living water. It refreshes. When you drink water in the natural, you are refreshed. Just think about that picture we see that David talks about in the Psalms, of that deer that is just so parched. It doesn't matter how long you've known God. We can all get distracted. We can all take the Holy Spirit for granted. But God wants you and I to stay in a place where we're desperate, where the Holy Spirit is at the forefront, where we don't want anything else but Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You guys know that song. as the deer pants for streams. And I just love listening to that song. When you go to the stream, we don't actually have to go to the stream. The stream is in us, but we easily forget that it's available. It is free. Do you thirst for God? David says, when shall I come and appear before you? Psalm 42 verse 1, as the deer pants. See, to drink is to take in. To drink is to take in. To take in the Holy Spirit. To drink. Pino. That's what it is in the Greek. P-I-N-O. That is to drink. Y'all thinking about wine right now. Right up. Pino? Oh, I'm talking about the new wine. Jesus. To drink is to imbibe, to absorb. It's to absorb, to assimilate his living water. That's what he has for us today. Are you drinking? Are you being refreshed by his Holy Spirit? Or is the Holy Spirit that forgotten part of the Trinity to you? I know I'm preaching to the converted. You guys are just full of the Spirit in this place. But we all need that refreshing. Because yesterday's refreshing is not enough. Today's refreshing is not going to be enough. God is so faithful with our daily bread. But we've got to be people that are thirsty, daily, asking, going for more. See, we see this woman at the well. She's thirsty. But once she starts to experience the presence of God, because she's right in his presence, she's with Jesus, she actually tastes and see that he is good. It's not all making sense to her. But she actually, if you go to verse 28 in John 4, this is not going to be on the screen. John 4, 28 tells us this about this woman. So the woman left her jar, her water jar, and went away into town and said to people, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? She tasted and she saw. She's like, man, forget the water in the well. I need to tell someone. I need to tell someone. Once you've tasted the presence of God, you just, just remember those days you're on fire for God. What happened? I think you stopped drinking. If you've had a time where you are more fired up for God to tell people, maybe you stopped drinking. How often are we supposed to drink? Or 8 cups a day, 10 cups a day? Or people say this and that. Hey, just ask. You can be drunk in the Holy Spirit. It's all good. Because people need it around us. They need it. You give prophetic words like Jesus did. Whatever Jesus was doing in the New Testament, we have the ability to do. Because Jesus speaks later on in John and he says, you will do even greater. You will do even greater. So this woman had tasted. She could not be satisfied by anything else. She goes and she tells everyone about this man. How about you guys? Will you tell? Sharing Jesus confidently. Yeah, you're like, we heard that back in August. We're already doing that. Are you doing it? Sharing the gospel? You need the living water. You got to have an inflow to have an outflow. See, well, I'm not confident. I don't know how to share the gospel. The lady just experienced Jesus. She couldn't help herself but go and tell. If you're experiencing Jesus, you can't help yourself. If you're full of the living water, I'm preaching to myself. When I get distracted, when I get too scared to share the gospel with anyone else, it's because I'm drinking of something else. I'm drinking of fear of man. I'm drinking of selfishness. I'm drinking of self-ambition. I'm just focused on my thing. God's happy for you to have your thing, but he wants to be part of your thing. He wants you to make his thing your thing because his thing is better. I don't know where the thing is coming from, but it's a good thing. So the living water refreshes. Will you be a channel? Will you be a channel? We can come in the Numa West. Oh, yes. The living water is here. We're Pneuma Church. We love the Holy Spirit. But we can get so fat in the Spirit. You guys have heard this before. We can get so fat, so full, that you can come into church on a day like this and have a Zimbabwean, Australian Pastor Steve speaking and nothing is really making sense because there's no room, because we're getting fat of living water, because we're not a channel that can, where it can go out, where it can go out, where it can go out. When's the last time you're like, oh man, the Spirit is moving through me? You're like, Lord, thank you. You're moving through me. When's the last time you're like, man, I'm so tired, but Netflix, not now. Because the thing that refreshes me is Jesus. Because you can go watch Netflix, as good as it is, and walk away feeling not all that great. It's good to chill. It's good to unwind. But sometimes it's like, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me beside still and quiet waters. We got to be a channel for the Holy Spirit. Living water is free. Living water cleanses. Living water refreshes. Still or sparkling? How about some living water, Pneuma West? It is free. You know what I love about the fact, the truth that living water is free? It actually brings freedom. It brings freedom. The word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It cleanses, it washes us. It brings freedom. And we've got to steward that freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What living water is, we get to be. See, it's free. We are free. It cleanses. We are clean. Your position, I'm telling you, my sister and my brother, your position in Christ is righteous. Doesn't matter what you did last night. Doesn't matter what you're thinking this morning. Because you said yes to Jesus, He sees you as righteous. He sees you as clean. But you got to steward that freedom. And when the Spirit flows in, what's got to flow out? The gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Righteousness, gentleness, love, joy. That's what's got to come out because He is in you. My last point this morning, if I could get the musician, the lovely Mia, to come up and just start to do her anointing work. Living water flows. Living water flows. So it's free. It cleanses. It refreshes. See what I said? What living water is, you can be. You can be one who refreshes people. Do people feel better after they've been around you? What can be most refreshing for people is when someone tells them the truth. Let's stop pulling back and not telling the truth to people because we don't want to disappoint them. Even giving them a confrontational word in love will bring them freedom, will bring them refreshing. But living water flows. As you do that, that's living water flowing through you. That's the Holy Spirit doing a work through you. Let's look at John 4, 14 to 15. There's so much in John 4. Even if we're here till 4 o'clock, I couldn't get through it. But we're going to finish in a few minutes. There's so much in there. I just encourage you. You guys are like, but isn't this guy talking about the woman at the well? I am, but there's so much to this whole story. I just can't get away from the living water part. The living water part. Jesus says to this woman, whoever drinks of this water that I give him, that I give her, will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him, the water that I will give her, will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Do you have a spring of water in you that wells up to eternal life? Why would Jesus say to you and I, to this woman that we will never be thirsty again. Because, man, I'm thirsty. There is more. I want more. I was just trying to get my head around this. Why would he say, you will never be thirsty again, Hannah? Yet he asks you to keep on drinking. Because he says, you will never be thirsty again. He says, if you're thirsty, come. But here he says, you will never be thirsty again. When I look at that in John 4, I don't see at any point where Jesus says, never drink again. Because when you receive the living water, when you receive the gift of salvation, when you receive the presence of God, the tap is now in you. The flow is accessible. You have a connection to the tap itself, the source, God. You don't have to be thirsty again because all you have to do is be open. You see, on a hot day, it's silly to wait until you feel thirsty because you're going to be dehydrated. To stay hydrated, you've actually got to be frequently drinking water. When we see drinking here, it's continuous. When he says drink, it's not like just a one-time thing. We've got to keep on drinking. And it says you're going to have a well that springs up in you up until eternal life. Yes, we are now, we now have eternal life. We're on the other side of eternity. But what this is saying is till you see Jesus face to face, you're going to have this spring, this well in you where there's a constant flow accessible to you where you can just continue to drink. This is a supply that will never run dry. It will never run dry. I was looking at this in the Amplified version and I just loved that translation. And I'm just going to read it out to you on my phone because I don't have an Amplified Bible. But this is what it says. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I believe God is speaking right here, right now. Even right now, you guys are drinking. This is what it says. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually with him, with her, unto, into, for eternal life. Living water flows. See, what this means is that we got to keep on drinking. We've got to keep on drinking. What this means is there is an ever flow. His spirit is ever flowing. We do not have to go without. That's why the psalmist says, I shall not want. Because he's already got the presence of God. You and I have the presence of God. Oh, what does this mean? This means that we have the living water, and God says in his word, he's talking about Jesus, but it also applies to us. He says, I give the Spirit without measure. He gives his Spirit without measure. It's limitless. The question is, will you receive it? Will you stop taking it for granted? It flows. You got to jump in the river. There is a river. You've got to jump in. You've got to immerse yourself in it. To be full of the Spirit is to be fully immersed in it. It's not just like this little pouring. No, it's actually being deep in the things of God. And you might think deep in the things of God, what does that mean? Ask Him to reveal that to you. For yourself, it's not what you would think, but there's something else he wants to show you. Because when we hear deep, we're like, no, those people are deep. No, we're not talking about those people. God has a new depth for each person here today. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. He has a new depth and is inviting you in to immerse yourself in His Holy Spirit, to drink of His living water. He wants you to jump in head to toe. For some, we come to church, we go to life group, but we're sort of like, just, I'm checking it out. Jesus is like, this is a matter of life or death. See, when He gives you the living water that He wants to flow out of you, He wants to send you to talk to someone. He wants to send you to pray for someone. He wants to let you know to give your mom a call and reconcile. But how are you going to hear that if you're just like, the water's only up to your toes? You've got to be fully in so you can hear. It's got to flow in and it's got to flow out. When it flows in, it does a work in you. When the living water comes in, it does a work in you. It brings freedom. It brings cleansing. It brings conviction. It challenges you. It empowers you. Empowers you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power to be my witnesses. It empowers you to be a witness. It does a work in you and then it does a work through you. It can be doing a work in you and also doing a work through you at the same time. You don't have to wait until you feel I'm ready. Just be a channel. Flow in, flow out. I love it. It is free. See, there'd be times I'm with my wife at a cafe, restaurant, and I'm like, hey, can I get some sparkling water? Next thing, they bring me a 750 ml bottle of sparkling water. I'm thinking, oh man. And they crack it open, but they seem to take the top with them. The cap, thinking, they don't want me to take it home with me. But I'm drinking other things, so 750 mils over an hour or 30, that's going to be a lot of water. But I'm like, man, I'm paying like $12 for this thing. I'm going to drink it. And I'll just drink it. Babe, how come you keep going to the toilet? I got to drink this water. Because I don't want to waste money because I can't take it with me. But the living water that you and I have goes with us, leads us. It's available everywhere. This woman said to Jesus, you're talking about living water? Like, we weren't even allowed to worship anymore on this mountain. We have to go to Jerusalem. He says, no, it's not about location. You will worship in spirit and in truth. You will worship in spirit and in truth. We are not restricted to when and how we can receive more of His presence, be aware of His presence, encounter His presence. Numa West, you are carriers of His presence. See, there's various gifts of the Spirit. We hear about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of prophecy, miracles, faith, healing, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretation. There's so much through the Holy Spirit. And the Word says that He apportions those gifts to us as He wills. He says He gives us the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for the profit of all. We be a channel. When you live by that living water, when you are hydrated in His presence, the gifts of the Spirit will flow out of you. Whenever and however God wants you to pray for someone for healing, He will stir that in your heart. You might not think of yourself as someone who works in power of healing, but God has given you living water, and in that moment, as you lay your hand on someone, He will do His work. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit because we're channels. So how do I know when I need to drink more? How do I know when I need more living water? You just got to look at what's coming out. What's coming out? holy moment. But how do you know when you need to drink more tap water, more physical water? It's not just about counting the numbers of cups. Actually look at the color of your urine. See, that sounds a bit more holy than urine. See, look at the color of your urine. See, if it's colorless, close to colorless, light yellow, man, you know you are hydrated. But if it's dark, you know you need to be drinking more water. See, when you drink water, it cleanses your body. It processes nutrients into different parts of your body. It helps you to get rid of the waste. It prevents you from having constipation. And this is what water does. Just think about living water. All you have to do is look at what's coming out. What words are coming out of my mouth? What words are coming out of my mouth? Oh, I need more, Holy Spirit. Give me more. What thoughts am I having in my head about people, about my situation? If they're not lining up with God, you just need some more living water. Am I reaching out to others? Am I helping others? Am I sharing the gospel? Whatever it is, you know what to look for. Look for the fruit. How do you know? When you need to drink more, just look at what's coming out. Can we all stand together, church? I just want to declare this morning that this church is a church full of living water. Let's all close our eyes. You are a church full of living water because you are in it. There is so much living water in this place. I felt it through the worship. I was so blessed. I was so refreshed. This church is full of His living water. His rivers are flowing through you. You are a living water church, Pneuma West. A refreshing church, a river church. My question to you in this moment is, will you drink off it? See, He said you'll never be thirsty again, but He didn't say you will not drink again. Will you drink off the living water? Will you let it cleanse you? Will you let it refresh you? Will you let it flow through you to touch others? Oh, we've got to bring the Holy Spirit back to the forefront. Where would you be without the Spirit? See, the Holy Spirit led you here this morning. The Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to you. The Holy Spirit was involved in the conception of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and He lives in you. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I'm going to end with this verse. You don't have to write it down, but mark this in your mind and look at it later. It's right at the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Close to the end. Oh, it talks about living water. See, the Holy Spirit was there right from the start in Genesis 1, verse 2. He was hovering around the waters and was involved in creation. But we see the Holy Spirit right at the end. Revelation 22:17 says this, the Spirit and the Bride. The Holy Spirit and the Bride, we are the Bride, the church universally. It says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let make this your prayer today, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life. Take the water of life without price. Without price. It is for free. Oh, in this moment, I don't want to let this moment pass by. You might be here today and you're hearing us talking about the Holy Spirit. You're hearing us talking about living water. You're hearing us talking about Jesus. We're saying, give me Jesus. But you're here today with every eye closed, every head bowed, and you're saying, I'm actually not walking with Jesus. I'm far from Jesus. I've actually maybe never said yes to Him. I've never made Him Lord of my life. I want to tell you today that Jesus came to save you. Jesus loves you. God gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whomever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but that the gift of God is eternal life. There might be someone here today, you know, you've just been driving the car of your life. You've been driving your life yourself. But just like that woman at the well, you haven't found satisfaction. And you know that there's that void in you, that vacuum in you, that nothing else is filling. And the good news is Jesus has a spot. That's His spot. And when you put Him in that spot, He's going to start to drive. You get to be on the passenger seat and let Him lead you. You get to walk your life with Him leading you. It's not about letting everything go of everything, but you're just holding on to Jesus. And as you hold on, He shows you how to walk. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, or you know you've walked away from Jesus in a way Jesus knows, you feel far from Him and you want to recommit your life. You're like, man, I just want to be full of that living water. I don't want to lose an awareness of it. When I'm away from it, when I don't have enough of it, I want to be convicted and reminded. If you're here for those two things in this moment, if you've never said yes to Jesus, or you need to recommit yourself to Him, with every head bowed, every eye closed, just raise your hand for me and we're all going to pray. But I just need to see your hand. Actually, forget about raising your hand. Let's just pray in the now, all of us. Because I don't want anyone to feel shy, because this is a moment where God is knocking on the door of your heart. And are you like that Revelation verse saying, come, come? All you have to do is say, come. So
thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.